Well, hello. Welcome to Walk It Out with Leah McCrae. I'm in Mark chapter 5 today, and I was reading, doing my study there, and something really jumped out at me that I wanted to kind of talk to you guys about. It is starting in verse 3, it talks about the healing of the demoniac, you know, the man who was possessed with the legion of demons. And in verse 3, it says that he lived among the tombs and no one could constrain him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. But he had pulled the chains apart and broken the shackles to pieces, and no one could subdue him. Always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying out and cutting himself with stones. And so, you know, we're reading about this guy and just understanding that he's isolated. You know, he's living out in the graveyard. He's, cutting himself and screaming and just having a rough time. You know, he's out there. No one wants any part of him. He obviously, if he has family or friends, they've abandoned him a long time ago. And it just paints a picture of a person that is isolated and left alone to be with his demons, you know, with his issues, you know, just left alone to be with his issues. And sometimes it's not even the It's not that the issues isolate us. It's just that we seek isolation. You know, we don't want to be around people. We don't want to be transparent and expose what's going on with us. And so whether this isolation was self-imposed or people just shunned him, and I'm sure with in this particular case, or after it had gotten this bad, that it was probably some of both. But we learn, you know, the word tells us about some of what's going on with this guy. And then it goes on to talk about how, you know, he saw Jesus afar off and he ran to him and worshiped him. He kneeled before him and in worship and cried out with a loud voice. What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of God? And then he asked our Lord to swear by God that he would not torment him. Found that interesting. So first we, you know, can see that the demons legion, so they self-identify themselves as legions. And when I that word for legion, it's a company. It's like a military term where it's at least over 6,000 is in a company of that's called a legion. So this man was possessed or oppressed by thousands of demons. And when you think about that, it's like, you know, how many demons can live in a person? How many demons can inhabit someone? And that's just crazy to think about, that you could have, you know, this whole demonic society, you know, existing within you, if you aren't delivered, or if you're saved, if you don't cast it out, you know, if you don't take authority. This is real. You know, this is real stuff. This is not like a fairy tale. This is in the Word of God, and we know that it's there to instruct and to warn and just to educate us, you know, to let us know what's going on and how to deal with it. So it's just interesting that the demon knew who Jesus was, and he begged him, you know, don't send us out of the country. Don't send us out of this region. And that, I think, also lets us know that that demonic warfare, you know, the demons, they have regions, they have places. Well, principalities have actual territories, and this in this chapter, you know, he's begging Jesus not to send him out of this territory. And if you, I wonder why, you know, is it that you kind of like, we have homes and work, businesses are, you know, we live and are comfortable in a territory, you know, in our state, in our county, on our street. And is it the same way with demons? You know, they have a territory that they're comfortable in, that they've been assigned to, maybe. I don't know. Think about that. But he's like, you know, don't send me away. Would he have to start over? You know, do demons have to start from the bottom once they get cast out of a certain place? It's just to think about, that. But obviously it was important. He says, you know, don't send me away out of this country, out of this region. And then, you know, elsewhere in the word, when we're reading about principalities and powers, and I believe it's in Daniel, you know, where he was praying and the angel said that he would have been there, but he got held up, you know, in some warfare over with the prince of Persia, and that's a territory. So obviously there are territories, and these particular legion of demons, they didn't want to be ousted from that territory. And so it's pretty powerful that we can oust them, you know, that we can send them packing, you know, that we can remove them from territories if we understood that we have that authority and if we walked in it, because we know that we do. But so that's pretty interesting. So anyway, he pleads with them and he says, please, you know, don't send us out of the territory. And then there's some pigs that are coming by, because I guess their owner or their shepherd, if pigs have shepherds, you know, are walking by with them. And they're like, hey, you know, can you send us into these pigs? And then I was thinking about that, too. So in order for them to, I guess, it can't be in order for them to exist, but for them to get around or to be able to have some type of effect in this world, they have to be in something, you know, in something that's living in people or in animals, or, I mean, that's just something to think about. But they were like, you know, send us into the swine. And Jesus says, okay, go, you know, and that, I love that, because there's no fanfare, you know, there's no effort on our Lord's part. You know, he doesn't have to say this long prayer or say all this, a 12-word command. You know, he just says, go. And the word says, as Jesus is in this world, so are we. So, you know, sometimes I think we make it so hard, you know, we have to have this almost occult like incantation to do warfare or to go into spiritual battle. And if we look at Jesus, who's our example, there's none of that. You know, there's none of that. He prays daily. You know, he's always in communication with the Father. So he's always ready, I guess, you know, where we sometimes, I guess, if we're not praying, if we're not communicating with our, you know, with the Lord, with our Father on a daily basis, or, you know, just talking to him throughout the day, then I guess we do feel like we gotta, you know, whip up a frenzy in order to do spiritual warfare. But that is clearly not the case. You know, that is not how it's supposed to be when we look at our example. So that was also something that was interesting that stood out to me, you know, that, you know, like, okay, all right, you know, it's about your faith and it's about what you believe that you have authority to do, and about your relationship with the Lord and being in constant contact with the Father. So that's something we have to work on. So anyway, so Jesus tells them to just, you know, go, you know, just that one word. And then they get cast into this herd of swine, and they end up driving them crazy, and they go off the cliff into a body of water, and they drown. And but this is what I really wanted to talk about. One of the things I wanted to talk about was then the people came out of the region, because the shepherd or the owners of this herd, you know, they went back and told all that has happened, you know, what had happened, that Jesus had actually caused their herd to die because he allowed demons to enter them. And so anyway, the whole town came out to see this thing, to see what had happened. And when they saw the demon-possessed man, the formerly demon-possessed man, sitting there, you know, clothed, you know, in his right mind, and in my sanctified imagination, I just kind of see him sitting on a bench or a rock or something, you know, just smartly clothed and, you know, with his leg crossed and, you know, just chilling with our Lord, just chilling with Yeshua, right? And then they come and they know who he is because he's been there for at least months, you know, just a maniac running around screaming, cutting himself and scaring little kids. And they see him and he's, you know, sitting there like, I don't know, like the Duke of Lexington or something. And they're like amazed, right? But then it says that they were afraid, and they pleaded with Jesus to leave the region. And I'm like, so he heals this man who has been bound and who has pretty much lost his entire life as well as his mind. And they get scared and they beg Jesus to leave. And it says the part of the reason was because they were concerned about the loss of the herd, you know? And so I guess they Jesus cost them money or industry, you know? So that just lets us know that the world has an industry around the bound. You know, the world has an industry around your sickness or your mental illness or your just not knowing who you are in Christ. There is an industry around that. So when you come into your right mind, when you come into knowing who you are in Christ, you know, you're not going to be susceptible to the world's shenanigans, you know, anymore. You're not buying what they're selling, basically. You're not going to be buying a lot of what they're selling. And so that is intimidating to the world. They don't want anything to do with that. So they come and they plead with Jesus to leave the region. And that is instructive to us. You know, there's industry around us not being free. So we need to think about that and meditate on that and rebuke that out of our lives. You know, we're going to be free. He came to make us free. And so, you know, the world is just going to have to do without building its monetary base on us being bound. So I just thought that was really interesting. And then another thing that I really got out of this was on starting with the verse 18, it says, when he entered the boat. I'm going to start with verse 17. Okay. So this man who Jesus has healed and delivered, it says, then they began to plead with him to depart out of the region. Nope, that's the world again. Sorry. So I'm going to 18. It says, when he entered the boat, he who had been possessed. Yes, this is the one. He who had been possessed with the demons prayed him that he might be with him. So he was asking Jesus to go with him. You know, Jesus had healed him, delivered him, and he wanted to go with him. But Yeshua did not let him. But he said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. Excuse me. So he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis, which means 10 cities. Okay, the 10 cities, what great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. And I really love this because he wanted to go with Jesus, right? Because of course he did. You know, this man just saved him, delivered him, gave him his life back, and he wanted to be with him. But Yeshua says to him, no, go home to your friends and tell them, you know, the great things that I have done for you. And then it goes on in verse 20 that he departed and he began to proclaim, which just means to say, to make known, to preach, right? In Decapolis, in the 10 cities, what great things Jesus had done. So Jesus turned this bound, crazed, maniac man who had lost everything, cutting himself, scaring little kids. He turned this man into a preacher. And he went and he proclaimed the word of God. He proclaimed the good news, the gospel, what Jesus had done throughout that entire region in the 10 cities. So was this the first preacher, you know, that after coming in contact with the Lord? I just thought this was amazing. And it says, and everyone was amazed. So that's instructive, right? That speaks to us. What has Jesus done for you? What has he done for me that I'm keeping silent about, that I'm not preaching, you know, that I'm not shouting from the rooftops? And if he can do this for this man, you can't tell me that there's something that you're dealing with that's too hard, you know, that Jesus can't deliver you from and turn you into a bona fide proclaimer of his goodness. So I just love that. I just love this chapter. This is Mark chapter 5. The first two stories in Mark 5, the last two actually talk about the leader of the synagogue, the healing of his daughter, and the woman with the issue of blood. So maybe next time when I come on, we'll talk about that. You know, just go ahead and read it and let God just minister. Let the word of God minister to you. In this chapter 5 is just amazing. It's so rich. It is just so rich in encouragement and in instruction and in faith. You know, yeah. So I think that's all I wanted to touch on today. So have an awesome time in the Word of God, and keep growing in your faith. You know, just keep walking it out day by day. Just walk it out and get stronger. And because the more you apply in your life, you know, the more that you walk out, the more that God is going to give you, the more revelation, the more opportunity he's going to give you to walk by faith. And, you know, because that's pleasing to him, and he rewards those who diligently seek him and who actually put his word into practice. So there you go. All right. So have a great day.